Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. People are fascinated by stories of the supernatural, tales of spirits, ghosts, unseen powers, and how to obtain them. Should Christians line up to buy books like these, or should they take a second look? For a discerning answer, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer is speaking on judging neo-paganism and how a popular book series may just be a gateway to the occult.
So because of the fact that I haven't read much of Harry Potter, you could just say that I've dabbled in Harry Potter. I'm going to let you make up your own mind, but I do want to ask you some questions. Those of you who have read the books, those of you who are into Harry Potter and his sorcery and his wizardry, here are some questions. And I think that these questions also will help us distinguish that from, say, C.S. Lewis or Tolkien. Do these books teach absolutes, or do they have relativistic notions of good and evil? Just a question. I can't answer this. I mean, you're the ones who are the experts. You've read it. Secondly, is evil in these books used to produce good? That, to me, is huge. Whether or not evil is used to produce good. Here's another question. Is it possible to break the rules and still be a hero in these books? And could the Harry Potter books be an imaginative bridge to the occult? This past week, I read a quote from a witch who thinks so. She thinks it's a wonderful entry door into what she's doing. And the question is, and I don't want to prejudice it here, but could it be occultism with a very friendly face? Now, I do need to say that if you're a parent here and your children have read the books, or if they're absolutely insisting that they read them, and if you don't read them with them, they're going to read them in school anyway, then I suggest that you be very careful and read them with your children and process them with your children and help them both to interpret the books as well as to give the appropriate warnings regarding witchcraft. I think within good homes where you have that, the children will not be necessarily lured into the occult. But I can see that some child reading this thinks to himself, I want the power of Harry. I want to attend that school of, what is it, Hogwarts or something like that. So I personally want you to be strongly, strongly cautioned. But at the end of the day, it's your decision. Let's get to some principles of discernment very quickly. Principles of discernment. Number one, there are only two sources of spiritual power, folks. Only two. There's God and good angels, and there's Satan and evil angels. There is no neutral power of nature. Many years ago, I was on television with a hookup here in Chicago with a witch in Los Angeles. And she kept insisting that we witches, we who belong to the Wiccan community, from which we get the word wisdom, or based on the word wisdom, she says, we have nothing to do with the devil. We worship ourselves and nature. And to be fair, most witches don't worship the devil directly. They do worship themselves and nature. But my dear friend, we've already learned it's possible to worship the devil even if he is not named. Remember, worship yourself, and he'll show up. There are only two sources. There's no somehow earth power that you tap into. It's either God, Christ, the Bible, or some other supernatural power that comes from the other side of the world. That is, the spirit world. Third, even small steps in the wrong direction can lead us into Satan's camp. Even small steps in the wrong direction. And this is why I just throw out every caution I possibly can about the occult. There is a story about an organization that was hiring truck drivers, and they asked a couple of drivers, they said, how close can you get to the edge of the cliff if you were driving a truck? How close would you be able to get? And one guy says, well, I could get within 6 inches. The other guy says, you know, I think I could do better than that. He said, I think I could do 4 inches. The other guy said, hey, look, I'm out of this. I can't play this game. If I were driving a truck, I would stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as I possibly could. And he ended up with the job. I just want you to know, folks, that the issue is not how close can we come to the occult without being afflicted by Satan. That is not the question. The real question should be, how far can we stay away and have nothing to do with what God says is detestable? And he said that because of that, I'm driving out those nations, and God will judge us because of the occultism which we find. And by the way, don't ever think that I've covered all of the bases. There are as many ways to lure people into the occult as there are interests among Americans. Number three, Satan will give you what you want. Listen to this carefully. He'll give you what you want as long as you eventually get what he wants. I know that that takes a little bit of writing, doesn't it? Satan will give you what you want as long as you eventually get what he wants. Will he heal you? The answer is yes, as we shall see next week. Of course he'll heal your body if he can. I mean, that's a small price to pay for your allegiance to wrong doctrine. Will he bless your business because you take a course in miracles? Will he help you lose weight or help you to do this or help you to do that? And the answer is yes, as long as in return he gets this. He gets us to belong to him with, I coined this phrase yesterday evening, and I kind of like it. Is it okay if occasionally I like something I'm saying? As long as we are bound to him with addictive allegiance. Addictive allegiance. It's not that, you know, necessarily you're going to be possessed or, you know, this evil spirit. No. All that he wants you to do is, listen, if you watch on television, if you watch occultism, the shows that I've mentioned just a moment ago or something, just try afterwards to read your Bible and pray. Just try it and see if you can do it. There are many Christians who can't. And that's all that he wants. I mean, he doesn't have to possess you. Though in some instances he might, but that's not. Just as long as you're kept from God, as long as you're not in fellowship with God, as long as you can't pray effectively because your life is so filled with the occult and sin that is accumulated, that's all that he needs is to neutralize Christians. Number four, ignorance is no excuse. You say, well, I didn't know that I shouldn't be playing with these tarot cards or with a Ouija board. I didn't know that. Well, you do now. Let's suppose, for example, you're an Israeli soldier. One Sunday afternoon, you're taking a walk in the beautiful sunshine and you go across the Syrian border, but you don't know it because it's not marked. And you get across the Syrian border and some Syrian soldiers capture you. And you say, well, I didn't know that I crossed that border. I mean, I was just taking a walk on a beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon. I don't care whether you know it or not. You're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And you may not even get back. Satan doesn't say, well, you know, I'm going to give him a pass. He didn't know it. He's not a gentleman. He's not like that. There are no rules with the devil. Number five, Christ has triumphed over all the powers of the occult. This message has been more of warning, so I've not stressed the triumph of Christ, but I have to hear. Remember that Satan has no more power than God lets him have, not one whit more than God lets him have. He is not the final power and authority in the universe. It is Christ. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all gods. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took that serpent and, as it were, he took his foot and he crushed the head of the serpent into the pavement. I think we ought to clap there, don't you think, for Jesus? I like to think of that chess game that was painted entitled The Chess Game Between a Young Man and Satan. And the painter painted it in such a way that there was consternation on the face of the young man, because the agreement was that whoever lost would become the servant of the winner. And the devil had just moved his queen and declared checkmate in two moves. But some of you know Paul Morphy, at least you've heard of him, one of the most famous chess players in the world. He visited the painting, which hung in one of America's art galleries. And as he looked at it, he kept saying, now let's see, you can move this, move this, move this, move this. And he stood there and suddenly he shouted, young man, there's a move you can make. The painter had overlooked a move that the young man could make. And I say to those of you today who have occult backgrounds, even some of you who received occult backgrounds because of your family lineage and because of what your parents did, I say to those of you who have been in it either in ignorance or knowingly, there is a move you can make. Christ has triumphed. Now, I wish that today we could give an invitation and have a room where we could just get on our knees, all those of you who struggle with occultism, and we could all just repent of our sins. But we can't do that because we do have communion and we do have Sunday school classes. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. What I want you to do is to go home and get on your knees, block out about 2 hours, preferably in a place where you're very much alone and you're not going to be disturbed. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you all areas of the occult in which you have been involved, either voluntarily or involuntarily, and confess each one and renounce them in the presence of God and get rid of their power through the triumph of Jesus and be free. Sometimes freedom can't come without other people praying with you, without other people interceding. But God wants to deliver his people. I've been praying that as this message was preached, that people would be delivered. That's how much confidence I have in God's most holy word and the triumph of Jesus. But we live in a thoroughly occultic age, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And God says, these things are detestable in my sight. Let's not give Satan an inch, because for every inch he comes back wanting a foot and a yard and a mile. He is not going to play by the rules. Let's pray together. Our Father, today we ask in the name of Jesus that you shall bring deliverance to your people, to all who hear this message, whether in this sanctuary, whether on the radio. Bring deliverance, we ask, in all areas of involvement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded Judging Neo-Paganism, the 8th in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? Next time, a look at judging conduct. Who Are You to Judge can be yours as a set of CDs sure to inspire and inform. They can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.